Good day, friends. It's the 6th of April, and again we have the opportunity to stop and be together. Thank you for the 20 or so who have wanted to continue to listen together in the mornings or whenever you can. It's a great encouragement to me personally, and a spurring on for myself to read and to be disciplined. And I hope and I am pray, and I've heard, as many of you have replied, that occasionally the Lord speaks directly to each of us in some way. And that's my hope as we read for understanding. We then find a revelation for each of us to be able to apply it in our day. So before we get started, after Palm Sunday yesterday and the celebrations that we may have all had in our own home, or at least to stop and to consider the coming into Jerusalem of Jesus, that important event, and we look forward to Good Friday, not too far away from us. Before we start our reading in Exodus, hit pause and be in silence again. We begin our reading in Exodus 14, verse 19. The significant event that finally took place, the crossing of the Red or the Reed Sea. Then the angel of God, who had been traveling in front of Israel's army, withdrew and went behind them. The pillar of cloud also moved from in front and stood behind them, coming between the armies of Egypt and Israel. Throughout the night, the cloud brought darkness to one side and light to the other side, so neither went near the other all night long. Then Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and all that night the Lord drove back the sea with a strong east wind and turned it into dry land. The waters were divided, and the Israelites went through the sea on dry ground with wall of water on their right and on their left. The Egyptians pursued them, and all Pharaoh's horses and chariots and horsemen followed them into the Red Sea. During the last watch of the night, the Lord looked down from the pillar of fire and of the cloud, and the Egyptian army and threw them into confusion. He jammed the wheels of the chariots, so they had difficulty driving. And the Egyptians said, "Let's get away from the Israelites. The Lord is fighting for them against Egypt." Then the Lord said to Moses, "Stretch out your hand over the sea, so that the water may flow back over the Egyptians and their chariots and horsemen." Moses stretches out his hand over the sea, and at daybreak the sea went back to its place. The Egyptians were fleeing towards it, and the Lord swept them into the sea. The water flowed back and covered the chariots and horsemen, and the entire army of Pharaoh that had followed the Israelites into the sea, none of them survived. But the Israelites went through the sea on dry ground with a wall of water on their right and on their left. That day the Lord saved Israel from the hands of the Egyptians. Israel saw the Egyptians lying on the seashore. And when the Israelites saw the mighty hand of the Lord displayed against the Egyptians, the people feared the Lord and put their trust in him and Moses, his servant. Well, what a graphic, tragic event on one side to a tremendous declaration of survival and provision on the other. It kind of reminds me a little bit of the anticipation of when the Lord will return and there will be a judgment that will come upon this world for its rebellion or its disregard of Yahweh, and for those who are willing and humble that flee into the hands of God will be saved. It's also a precursor that many feel of the steps of baptism. The children of Israel walked through the sea, through the waters, and came out the other side. The symbolic importance of going through the waters of baptism to live in a relationship with God as a step of obedience. There's the other encounter of Moses having to lift his staff to enter and to close the waters. And that's also a testimony to each of us that when we want to see the hand of God or walk in by faith, we've got to actually do things to instigate God's hand in our lives. We are required to step out in faith, to be a testimony. It's appropriate for us to pray for things or to seek the Lord in private for our lives. But action also must follow. We must raise our staff or speak up, declare the words of God in our context, in situations, for his mighty hand to work step by step. I've been doing that in the sense of over this potential significant bill that's coming, praying in advance and then going and walking and seeking and engaging so that the things of God will come about in the way that he has promised. So may we be encouraged, friends. Take heart and be obedient. Let's read from Proverbs 10, verse 14. The wise store up knowledge, but the mouth of the fool invites ruin. The wealth of the rich is their fortified city, but poverty is the ruin of the poor. The wages of a righteous life, the wages of the righteous is life, but the earning of the wicked are sin and death. Those who heed discipline shows the way to life, but whoever ignores correction leads others astray. May we be encouraged, friends. These are, I guess, phrases of warnings. I'm thinking of the Egyptian army too, in the context that they had warnings and warnings, and it was not God's desire for them to be routed in that way. And it's, many have thought that the decline of the power of Egypt happen as a result of these several months. Not only the livestock and wealth, but also the army. So, friends, let's be wise and rejoice and trust the Lord that He is able to lead and guide us as we step out in faith each day. God bless, friends. Talk to you Wednesday.